The number of people applying for unemployment benefits falls to a five-month low.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, what caused a big drop in people seeking unemployment benefits? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now, way up. The Dow up 238 points at 11,249. That's more than 2%. The NASDAQ up about 2%, and same with the S&P 500 after the government said this morning that the number of people seeking unemployment benefits fell by 37,000 last week to 391,000. That is a five-month low. And it's where we'll start with Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, who's with us live from Chicago, as she is every Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's the reason, do you think, for this drop, Diane?
Well, we saw the drop mostly because those people displaced and out of work by Hurricane Irene returned to the workplace. They were no longer applying for unemployment benefits. That's the good news. The bad news is we're still not seeing a lot of hiring out there, and the long-term unemployed edged higher.
And that's something we keep hearing over and over again. How do you get these people who've been out of work for a long time back to work?
Well, this is the one of the greatest challenges we face. I know a veteran that's just returned from Iraq and Afghanistan after almost 10 years of deployment. He was an IT specialist in 2000-2001. His IT skills clearly aren't the same today as they were back then, given most of his time was spent in a Black Hawk helicopter and as a sharpshooter. And it's really hard to reintegrate these people back into the economy. And the longer they stay out, the harder it is to reengage them.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Well, in Berlin this morning, German lawmakers said yes to expanding the size of the European bailout fund. The vote was closely watched because the bailout fund is seen as a crucial part of solving the European debt crisis. And German citizens aren't in love with the idea of bailing out their European neighbors. The BBC's Steve Evans is with us now from Berlin with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how significant is this vote?
Well, it's very significant. What it's about is in July, the leaders of the 17 countries in the Eurozone, the countries that use the euro, decided on beefing up the fund to bail out failing economies like Greece and Portugal and whatever. The leaders agreed it. Then it seems people realized it had to be actually ratified by parliaments. 17 parliaments had to ratify it. So this was about the German parliament ratifying that agreement already done for a bailout fund. If they'd said no, that would have been the end of it. It would have scuppered it and the financial markets would have gone into a tailspin.
And there was a lot of question about what would happen here. There's a lot of opposition in Germany to bailouts. Here's a resident of Berlin speaking to the BBC today.
Personally, I get the feeling that they don't really have a concept of what they're doing with the money. It's just pumping more and more money into it and don't even know why or what to do.
So, Steve Evans, why did these German lawmakers go against that anti-bailout tide in Germany and vote for this expansion of the bailout fund?
Because they think that if they don't find a way of saving economies that fail, like Greece, then the whole thing shatters. The whole thing falls apart. The euro is no more, and that would be chaos. So the German government reasons it wants the euro to continue because it likes it politically, but also the alternative would be very bad for everybody.
The BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Now to the airline industry, which is being hit both by a cutback in leisure travel and high oil prices. But one company is beating the odds. Emirates Airlines used its focus on high-paying business travelers to make $1.5 billion in profit last year. Compare that with American Airlines, for instance, which lost almost a half billion dollars. We're joined now by Jim Baxter, who is the vice president for North America at Emirates Airlines. He's with us here in our Los Angeles studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're adding new routes from the United States. Just this week, you're announcing that you're going to be flying from Dallas and from Seattle. Why would you be adding new routes in a country that is looking at economic growth of just a percent and a half for the next year?
Well, we're convinced in the long-term continued growth of travel, business travel in particular. So yes, short-term economic problems, but this is just the beginning, Jeremy. There'll be more expansion in the U.S. for Emirates.
What about the emerging world? How much faster is that growing for an airline like Emirates than the United States or Europe or some of the traditional developed economies?
It's growing very fast. In fact, one of the keys, if you take a look at the Emirates route system, we now fly to 21 destinations in Africa. Hmm. We fly to 11 cities in India. We fly to China. Manila, Australia.
And you're filling up these planes?
And we're filling up these planes. The demand, particularly for business travel, has been strong, remains strong, and we think it'll continue to be that way.
What do you see as the biggest challenge for Emirates going forward?
We are an airline who do not belong to an alliance. So you have the SkyTeam, Oneworld. Increasingly, they are working together to leverage each other's product. So the fact that we're a standalone, it makes our task a little bit more difficult on one hand. On the other hand, it allows us to control our destiny.
Jim Baxter is Vice President for North America at Emirates Airlines. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, to Fargo, North Dakota, home of the famous Coen Brothers movie Fargo, and now home to Fargo the Beer, which was unveiled yesterday. The first beer being produced there is called Woodchipper, named after a rather famous scene from the movie.
And I guess that was your accomplice in the wood chipper.
That's about as far as we're going to take that one at breakfast time. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Technology, social media. It's more than just a screen name and a password, you know, and it all boils down to just one thing, me.
What's interesting is we are living in such an autobiographical age. I mean, every text and post and email and tweet, everything is you trying to express yourself in all these new mediums.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, and autoblogography. I'm being connected next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.